You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, let's do this. Welcome to a Thursday edition of Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the only podcast that breaks down every Heat game, news item, rumor, and more. Thanks for listening and for subscribing, and to those who support us on Patreon, my name is Wes Goldberg, and I'm here as always with David Ramil, and we're recapping the Heat's 111-99 loss to the Clippers. Eric Spoelstra went with a new starting lineup tonight, inserting Tyler Johnson for Roddy Magruder, but it didn't help juice Miami's offense. And there were issues, too, defensively, as the Heat gave up 31 points to Tobias Harris, including 22 in the first half. The Heat fall to 22-24, 12-12 at home now, and are a game behind the Hornets for the 7th seed, and only a game up on the Pistons for the number 8 spot. But let's start with that new starting lineup, David. What did you think about that?
Not much. It didn't seem like it really had much of an impact, to be honest with you. Tyler Johnson came in. Look, to his credit, he did have a pretty solid game in 36 minutes of play. 5 of 11 shooting for 15 points. Only 1 of 6 from 3-point range, so not a great overall game. But, you know, solid contributions, provided a little bit more energy. Certainly a lot more than Roddy Magruder has in the starting lineup lately. So, I mean, there was something there. But at the same time, it's problematic with this team is that you get a good performance from somebody unexpected like Tyler, and then the people that you kind of count on to provide at least their regular level of contributions kind of fall short. And that was the case tonight, where a guy like James Johnson really struggled. Justice Winslow really struggled in 31 minutes of play. Josh, you know, finished with 17 points, but at the same time, that was 5 of 15 shooting in order to get to those 17 points. So not very efficient overall. I mean, I feel like the problem wasn't really with the starting lineup so much as with the whole team in general. The starting lineup held their own for the most part, I think. I mean, they kept the game fairly close while Tobias Harris was heating up. And that was problematic, too, in the sense that Harris was really torching whoever was guarding him, whether it was a starter or somebody off the bench. And even when Marcin Gortat was running the pick-and-roll situation with Tobias, he was able to burn any defender, whether it was Whiteside or Bam Adebayo or anybody. Gortat or Montrezl Harrell's screens took whomever was guarding the screener. I'm sorry, whoever was guarding Tobias directly, completely out of the play, and Harris was able to burn, you know, the Heat all night for 31 points. It was an ugly effort defensively, even uglier offensively. The Heat finished, you know, with 47% shooting overall. 47% shooting overall and 28.6% from 3-point range. Not a good shooting night. As far as the starting lineup is concerned, I didn't see anything particularly glaring other than those weaknesses from James Johnson and Justice Winslow. Did you see anything that stood out?
No, I actually thought Tyler Johnson did a nice job attacking off the dribble. The threes that he did take were pretty much good looks. He was just missing them.
Yeah.
And I thought that exacerbated the issue a little bit more. He didn't make his first three-pointer until there was less than 4 minutes left in the game. He missed his first four, and that's really tough. You kind of need that position to space the floor a little bit when you're playing next to Justice Winslow and Josh Richardson, James Johnson, and Hassan Whiteside. That fifth guy needs to be able to space the floor. That's not something Roddy Magruder had been doing well. He had been in a shooting slump. He lost his job. Tyler Johnson went in, like I said, missed his first four. You need somebody to do that. And then you look at who wasn't playing, and in addition to Roddy Magruder, who went from starting 44 games this season to not playing at all. Right, as we suggested. But he goes to not playing at all, which, okay, that's fine. Wayne Ellington, still not in the rotation. Kelly Olynyk, still not in the rotation. They're all part of the DNPCD club now. I thought that the Olynyk thing was... I don't know what's going on there. Like, I get not playing Wayne Ellington to an extent. I understand not playing Magruder because he just hasn't been that good lately. But Kelly Olynyk is way too good to be a DNPCD at this point. And I get that Spoelstra wants to go to 9 guys. That's his comfort spot. I get it. But Olynyk is too good not to be playing. And he really could have helped Miami, especially in the second half where the offense just went to sleep. And last year, it was Ellington and Olynyk. Those were the guys that got Miami out of those offensive lulls. Neither of them played tonight. Olynyk really could have helped, especially because guys like James Johnson and Derrick Jones Jr., who were the power forwards tonight, weren't super good. Mm-hmm. I don't understand it. Like, Olynyk has to be playing. He's too good not to be playing.
I'll counter that. I didn't mind Olynyk sitting. Like, if he had been able to come onto the floor with Ellington, as we have discussed recently as well, then I think that pairing would have been more effective. But Olynyk on his own, inserted into the lineups wherever he would have fit in tonight's game, I don't think he would have been able to handle either matchup. He wouldn't have been able to match with Gortat or Harrell. Certainly wouldn't have been able to contend with Jonathan Motley, who, honestly, I thought was out of the league. I didn't realize that he was still in the NBA until he came in and burned us for 7 points in 9 minutes, providing some really good energy for a guy who's probably not belonging in the NBA at this point, but he seemed like he was more energized than anybody in the Heat roster. So I'm not sure that Olynyk would have been able to match up with any of those. He might have been more problematic because of his defensive liabilities than anything else, even though he might have been able to contribute some offensively, but not as much as, say, if he had been able to go in there along with Ellington. And I think this is a ridiculous excuse as far as, you know, Spoelstra feeling quote-unquote comfortable with nine guys. I mean, you don't have just nine guys to play. You play as many as you possibly can when guys like, you know, Johnson or Derrick Jones Jr., who we'll talk about more later, struggle as much as they do, then you have other alternatives. And why not? I mean, you can't just force guys into that lineup.
We saw Doc Rivers go with Sindarius Thornwell off the bench in the second half. He hadn't played in the first half, but he used Thornwell as a bigger body to guard Dwayne Wade, who was so good in that first half. And so, like, that's kind of your point. Like, when it's obvious in the second half, yeah, you want to go with nine guys, but the offense isn't doing anything. So put a guy like Olynyk in there instead of maybe Bam Adebayo, who didn't have a great game or something like that, or instead of Derrick Jones Jr., who didn't have a great game either, maybe go with Olynyk. I do want to point out that we put out a Twitter poll before the game. Who should the Heat promote to the starting lineup? 52% of you said Deion Waiters. Yep. 42% said Derrick Jones Jr. 6% of you said Tyler Johnson. Turns out it was Tyler Johnson. Other stats, just to quickly wrap up here. Hassan Whiteside, 22 points on 16 rebounds. I liked his energy for the most part. He fell into some bad habits early on, but once he kind of subbed back in for the second time, was much more effective. Did a nice job doing his homework early, establishing position near the rim and getting some easy looks that way. Justice Winslow, you mentioned his struggles, 11 points on 5 of 10 shooting. Just 3 assists on the night and 4 turnovers, so it was tough for him. And then Dwayne Wade off the bench, 13 points for him. But let's go to our Twitter questions. We'll do that after this break. Let's get to your Twitter questions that you sent in using the hashtag AskLOHeat. This one comes from our friend Azam, who asks, 3 guard lineups, bad or awful? David, which one is it?
Yeah, I guess I would probably contend bad. Bad tonight. I don't think that they could always be bad, which is why I don't give them the awful designation. Guard lineups, I mean, at this point, with basketball being as positionless as it is and this roster being as, you know, all over the place and no clear designation one way or the other, I don't know how to answer this question, to be 100% honest with you. I mean, I guess we're talking about 4 players, 6'6 and under, right, as far as what guards are.
It's not like the Heat have a whole bunch of small forwards that they could be putting out there, you know? Like, it's kind of, it's Justice Winslow, who's a point guard, plus. So I think what Azam is talking about, too, we got this question in the second half. The Heat went small in the fourth quarter with Tyler Johnson, Deion Waiters, and Josh Richardson next to Winslow and Whiteside, and so that's an undersized lineup. They played some zone. Deion was actually playing in the front court of that zone, which I thought was pretty interesting and not super effective, but interesting. I don't think they could go that small, because now you run into that situation where Justice Winslow is guarding forwards, and we just don't want him necessarily doing that. Granted that the Clippers were playing pretty small too. Tobias Harris was playing power forward for them in the absence of Danilo Gallinari. So Harris, who's normally a 3, and Winslow, who normally guards 3s, was playing the 4, and so Winslow was doing that a little bit too. But when you're the Heat and you're trying to juice up some offense, and for some reason you're not playing Ellington, you're not playing Magruder, and you're not playing Olynyk, well, then I guess you just throw 3 guards out there, because that's the best chance you got at manufacturing some scoring.
Yeah, so, except when that lineup goes 6 of 21 from 3-point range.
Right.
I mean, so, not good. You're not getting much offense out of that trio.
Let's go to this next question from Ferris. Is there a way to get D'Angelo Russell on this team? Would that be a smart move? I feel like his age with our young core fits the timeline. David, I just want to point out, I was asking for a D'Angelo Russell trade like at the beginning of this season.
I remember.
It's not happening now. The way that he is playing for those Brooklyn Nets, he's playing great. There's no way that the Heat have what it would take to get D'Angelo Russell. It feels like the Nets are kind of going with D'Angelo Russell, Spencer Dinwiddie, Caris LeVert, backcourt of the future for them. Maybe find the next D'Angelo Russell, though. You know, like the next point guard who is young and doesn't exactly fit what his current team is doing, and Miami maybe could take a flyer on and maybe get at a pretty cheap price, because the Brooklyn Nets got D'Angelo Russell as sort of the sweetener to take the Timofey Mozgov contract from the Lakers. So I got some ideas. I mean, Dennis Smith Jr. I mean, I don't love the fit, but he's a guy that maybe if you're the Heat, you could buy low, you know? Frank Ntilikina in New York, same situation. Dare I say Markelle Fultz? Like, should the Heat be exploring these options?
Yes. I mean, if you don't have to give up much to acquire them, and the thinking is that you probably could get them pretty cheaply, I think Dennis Smith Jr. probably would merit the most in that trio. I mean, it's not saying much, but as far as an exchange rate is concerned, yes, but you're also looking at possibly developing them years down the road. I mean, the part of the reason they gave up on him as easily as they did in Los Angeles was because he wasn't playing very well there. They knew that they were going to draft Lonzo Ball there. It wasn't a good fit in that sense. D'Angelo Russell had some big gains for the Lakers, but he's also getting much more opportunity in Brooklyn than he ever did in Los Angeles. So I think he's had some moments there where he hasn't exactly shown, and now he's having that opportunity to shine, and I feel like this is probably going to drop off a little bit. As much as we like what we've seen from Russell lately, it's a bit of a hot streak that I don't know that he can keep up with. Other teams will figure it out. I mean, his confidence is really high, but I'm not sure that we can count on the kind of exceptional shooting we've seen from him. I don't know. Even if you don't acquire a guy like that, there are others. I mean, if you're looking at this team and their shooting woes, I mean, couldn't you have taken a flyer on say, a Seth Curry? I mean, that guy was gotten really, really cheap. And even a Nick Stauskas for the Trailblazers, somebody that provides shooting. I mean, but to that same point, that you've already got a really good shooter in Wayne Ellington, and you can't find a way to play him anyway, so what's the point?
Exactly. I don't get it. Let's go to this next question from Miami Dude. What the hell happens now? That's a great question. Yeah, exactly. I want to use this as an opportunity to just touch on the standings right now, because Miami's in a free fall. And they, after tonight's results, the Charlotte Hornets have picked up a game on them for the seventh seed. So Charlotte is now ahead of them. They've got the seventh spot. Miami's in the eighth spot. But they're only a game ahead of the Detroit Pistons, who also won tonight. Like, let's not take a playoff spot for granted. I know I've said this before, David, but that's kind of what the hell happens now is, are the Heat even going to hold on to this playoff spot? Because that needs to be the main priority, or maybe not. Maybe the next priority is more roster changes. I mean, you've got three guys who have value that are not playing right now. Is that kind of a sign of maybe trades happening? I honestly wonder if it was Spoelstra's decision to rest Olynyk, Ellington, and Magruder, or if that's maybe a front office thing. I don't know, but that's kind of where the Heat are at.
Yeah, I'm starting to give that much more thought and starting to lean that way myself as far as that these decisions are being handed down from the front office. Look, I'll tip my hat to you. You've said this, you know, for weeks now, even before we had Keith Smith on our recent show to talk about the possibility that the front office was guiding Eric Spoelstra's hand here. You know, you had labeled it a conspiracy. It doesn't seem like it's really much of a conspiracy so much as just, you know, they have a plan. You have to assume, for all the critics, and I've been critical of Pat Riley in the past too, a lot of people assume he just doesn't have a plan. He probably has one. It might not be as clear to us, and it's certainly not one that we can see developing just yet. But these kinds of decisions don't make any sense. Like, oh, Olynyk's not playing, Ellington's not playing, Magruder going from starter to the bench. If you're trying to showcase him, that failed. If you're trying to drive his value down, that succeeded, but then you might as well just ride out the experiment. So what are you trying to accomplish? Again, we don't know what that plan is. We have to assume there is one. And it's starting to look more and more like, I would say that this team is probably going to be a seller when it comes to the trade market. It's not something that I had anticipated. I thought this team would be able to find a way to coalesce and improve, and they've shown some signs, but now it's starting to look like they're regressing, and I don't think that the next step for them is to continue as is. It's probably to change the roster around. I don't think they're going to be able to acquire any player of significant value, but at least it'll clear up some of the logjam, and players being the kind of people that they are that need that structure, they'll probably feel more comfortable knowing that it's not going to change from one day to the next, as we've seen so often over the course of this season.
It feels like the rotation issues are now starting to create frustration and an issue in the locker room. I mean, this is a concern. And at this point, if you're Pat Riley, you're right. You're probably not trading these guys and making a move here at the deadline that's going to land a star, that's going to dramatically change the ceiling of this team for this season. But at this point, it's almost addition by subtraction, where you clear up this logjam. All of a sudden, there's a little bit more room to breathe in that locker room, and maybe you just hope that the team coalesces after that. It's time for our stat of the game.
Take that for data.
David, what do you got?
In 11 minutes of play, potential starter Derrick Jones Jr., who has shown so much lately, finished with just 1 point on 0-of-1 shooting. 1-of-2 at the line, just 2 rebounds and 2 turnovers. Not Derek's best game. I'm not sure what happened. Again, I think this might be more of a result of the up and down rotation and not knowing exactly where his place was. He just didn't seem to have it all night. That one attempt was a follow-up dunk that rattled out, and he didn't seem like he was really, I don't know, able to engage much defensively, offensively. He didn't seem to have it there. Again, maybe you're right as far as these rotation issues starting to impact the mental well-being of these players, because we've seen so much, even in bad games recently, where Derek has come in and infused some energy. Tonight, that was not the case. So I don't know if there's more tension behind the scenes that what we're witnessing. Look, the guys that are plugged in as far as media members are concerned are going to be tight-lipped about it. They don't want to reveal too much unless it's something completely overt where Dwayne Wade punches Deion Waiters in the face or something like that. And that hasn't happened, just to clarify. As far as little tension is concerned, they're not going to report on that because they want to ensure their standing with the team, and I understand that completely. So we are not privy to whether or not there's any kind of significant emotional baggage taking place here, but it seems very likely that it's eating at this team. I mean, when you got a guy like Magruder, who, everybody loves Rodney. I mean, he is beloved by that team because of his effort, because of the way he's worked his way up throughout the years to become a starter and everything else. And then to have your position on the team yanked so unceremoniously has to look bad to the rest of that unit. That you're looking at Rodney, a guy that you're going to battle with every day as a starter, and then all of a sudden, not only does he not start, he doesn't play at all. Same could be said for Kelly. I think that's a guy that a lot of people like in that locker room, and then all of a sudden not playing over the last couple games. And Wayne, his situation has just become untenable. And you add to that Hassan's frustration earlier in the season, Deion's frustration recently, and clearly this is not a team that's getting along and flowing as well as they should. And I think that's something that this team needs, because they don't have that clear-cut superstar, because they don't have an overabundance of talent. They need chemistry. They rely on it more than anything else in order to keep them going, and that's starting to become a bigger problem than we had anticipated.
My stat of the game is that the Heat forced only 7 turnovers, and off those 7 turnovers, scored only 11 points. They need more of that with this offense, the way it's struggling. Consistently, they need to be good defensively, yes. And I thought they were okay defensively, with the exception of not being able to stop Tobias Harris. Like, everything else was fine. But when you have just 3 steals in the game, I think that when you have guys like Josh Richardson, Derrick Jones Jr., and Justice Winslow, who are good at creating steals, even Dwayne Wade, who are good at creating steals and tipping passes and creating live ball turnovers and fast break situations, you need more of that. And you only got 1 steal combined between Richardson, Winslow, and Derrick Jones Jr. Those long arm guys, those guys who are the anchor of that zone defense. And Miami played quite a bit of zone tonight, more so than we've seen in recent games. And you're only getting 1 steal between those 3. You need more. And I thought that was as big of a reason, quite honestly, for this loss than anything else that happened. As much as, missing 23 pointers or giving up 31 points to Tobias Harris, only getting 3 steals in the game was as much of a reason for this loss as anything else. That's all we have for today. Thanks for listening. If you got a smart speaker as a gift over the holidays, you can tell it to play podcast Locked On Heat. Connect with us on Twitter at Locked On Heat or email us at LockedOnHeat@gmail.com. We'll catch you next time. Thanks for joining me, David.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Wrap it up, B.